So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites come from the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Caleb said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them."
Last summer, Pastor David, Pastor Melissa, and I sat down together and we started discussing how we wanted to plan our sermons for this year, for 2018. So we started discussing ideas that we were discerning maybe was important to share with the congregation. And so we talked about ideas, we talked about topics, we even talked about, you know, were there certain books of the Bible that we wanted to discuss, that we wanted to preach about. So we were discerning, you know, how might these sermon series, how might these messages be helpful? How might they be relevant in the time that we are in, especially knowing that, well, we didn't know what was going to happen a year from the time that we planned them. And so as we had sat down last summer, the week before, I had seen the movie It, which was based on Stephen King's huge book back in the 80s. And it's about these group of kids who go up against a monster who is able to look like anything a child is afraid of. So as a little kid, whatever you're afraid of, this monster is able to take that appearance. And of course, the story is more than that. It's not just about fighting this monster. It's about how do you deal with whatever fears that you encounter in life, whether you are a child, whether you are an adolescent coming into age, whether you are 40, 50 years old. How do you face what scares you? And so at the end of the movie, the kids are able to defeat the monster. They're able to sort of beat it back. And right before the monster disappears into the darkness, it says one last word: fear. And as I came out of that movie, I thought, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about what makes us afraid. Because fear, as we know, is something that we all deal with, no matter what age we are. We deal with fear throughout our entire lives. In fact, in one of Stephen King's books, he talks about this, how when we are kids, we are afraid of monsters. We're afraid of the monster under our bed. We're afraid of the monster in our closet. And as adults, we dismiss those fears because we know that they are not real. However, as we grow, our fears change. They manifest into other things. So rather than being afraid of monsters under our bed, we become afraid of tax audits and career changes and self-image and political groups. Those may not seem as interesting as monsters under our bed, but it helps us to remember that our fears change even as we grow. So whatever our specific fears may be, whether they are real or unfounded, we are all afraid of something. Sometimes we are just simply afraid, and we don't even know why. Because fear is all around us. Whether we agree with a particular philosophy or a particular group or a particular religion or maybe the opposite of that is telling us what we need to be afraid of, we at the very least are reminded all the time by different sources of what or who we should be afraid of. And that fear can often drive us in how we live. So the book of Numbers that Jason read from, this is the fourth book in the Old Testament. And it continues the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, on their way to Canaan, the promised land, the land that God says to Moses and the Israelites, this will be the land for you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And so after wandering for so long in the mysterious wilderness, they finally have a destination. They finally have a mission, a place where they can go. And so when they finally get there, God tells Moses, send 12 people out to see what's out there, to survey the land and come back to the people and tell them what they have found. And so the story says that when the Israelites look around the land, they spot these giants, these beings referred to as the Nephilim. Now, Nephilim are actually mentioned first in Genesis 6. They are talked about as divine beings who came to earth and they had offspring with humans. Now, in Genesis, they're actually described as heroes, maybe even superheroes. But in Numbers, they are described more like monsters, more like giants. And I realize that picture may not seem very scary. It's the best that I could come up with because we don't really know what they look like. We just know that they're really big. And so I realize that might not be so scary. A couple of weeks ago, I revealed to the other congregations when I was preaching that I'm working on a new book dealing with the Universal monster movies of the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and talking about how they all represent something within us, that the reason they are universal is because they have universal traits that we all have in ourselves as human beings. And so recently, the one that I'm working on right now is Creature from the Black Lagoon. And so I was thinking, you know, that monster doesn't really look all that scary. But I thought maybe if we put some music to it, that maybe that would help. So, you know, if we hear the theme song, that kind of helps maybe, you know, put a little, you know, effort into. I just love that song, so. But the Israelites, they are terrified when they see, you know, these beings, whoever they are, and they come running back to the Israelites, and they're saying, you will not believe this. There are these giants, and they're going to devour us. They're going to eat us. We can't possibly defeat them. They are so huge and powerful. Maybe it would be better if we just went back to Egypt. You know, let's just go back. That slavery thing, that wasn't so bad. You know, let's just go home. It's at this point that Caleb and Joseph, two people who also went out into Canaan, two people who have been helping Moses out, kind of as leaders themselves, they say to everybody, you know, we were out there too. And so they try to calm the people's fears. And Caleb says, as Jason read, remember, the land is also good. It is good, and if the Lord is pleased with us, God will bring us into this land, and God will give it to us. Remember, Caleb says, the Lord is with us. Now, on the one hand, that sounds very reassuring. It sounds peaceful. It sounds strengthening, especially in a time of fear. But we need to be careful about how we read that and how we say that. Because it may sound a different way if Caleb said it like this. Remember, the Lord is with us. And actually, he says this in Numbers. The Lord is with us. The Lord is not with those giants. They don't have any protection. They don't have any divine God over them. We will be able to defeat them because God is with us. As encouraging as that can be, there's a pro and there is a con to this, depending on how we hear it. And this gets into the question of how do we cope with our fears? What are positive ways that we are coping, and what are maybe some not so positive ways? Because the con here is that it's very easy to turn that phrase, God is with us, to the phrase, God is on our side, which can lead us to being fearless in a way that is not exactly healthy. It can even be dangerous, because as we have seen over and over in history, in every conflict, in every war, every side always believes that the God that they worship is on their side. And therefore, the decisions that they make and the path that they take, it has to be the right decision because God is on our side, right? This can turn our fear and our hate into a driving force, especially when we think we are right, because God is on our side. One of the ways that we can cope with our fears is by believing that God is behind our actions, that, and by the way, those actions that we want to take anyway, that God is behind us so that we have the ability and the power and the strength to strike against whatever or maybe even whoever we are afraid of. But is that really a healthy way to cope with our fears? Some of you know I started last year a Fresh Expressions group called Theology and Comics, and it was a way for us to kind of talk about connections between comic book stories and biblical stories and different theologies. It's kind of morphed and evolved into a podcast that I'm still working on. But one of the conversations that I had with someone was on fear and how do we deal with fear and how do our heroes deal with fear, particularly those who kind of have a reputation for being fearless. And is that really such a good thing? And so one of the heroes that we talked about was Green Lantern. And Green Lantern is one of those heroes who's able to channel his willpower with a special ring and pretty much create anything that he wants to, as long as he has the willpower to make it happen. So with the ring that he has, if he has the imagination, if he has the willpower, he can make anything he wants. There's actually thousands of Green Lanterns all over the universe, but Hal Jordan is the most famous one, the most revered, because he is able to conquer any foe, he's able to go up against any challenge, and he is able to overcome any fear that he has. Until one day, his city is destroyed, and millions of people die, millions of people who he believes he was not able to save. And so he is consumed with grief and feelings of failure. And so he decides that he needs to take as many Green Lantern rings as he can so that he has the power to fix it, so that he has the power to build the city back and save all of the people who were destroyed. Now, of course, the only way he can do this is he has to go up against his other Green Lantern friends. And so he starts battling them one by one. Some of them, he even takes their life so that he can get their rings. And the more power he consumes, the farther away he drifts from the hero he used to be. All because this is how he has decided to cope with his fear. How do we cope with our fears? How do we deal with the things that we are afraid of? How do we deal with those times in life we discover something huge and terrifying and uncertain? As Adam Hamilton reflects about this in his book when he's writing on this passage of Numbers, he writes of what happens when we first have a dream or a goal or a mission or something happens and it just cracks everything open. He writes, "Soon all we can see are the obstacles, the risks, and the dangers. We freeze in our tracks. Terror and despair take over. We wish we could turn back. We tell ourselves, I could never do this. I don't have what it takes. What if I fail? Others are far more gifted than I am. This is just too hard." Or maybe like Hal Jordan, we avoid our fears and we push through and we try to conquer them by trying to conquer someone or something else. And then, of course, if God is on our side, then whatever we do is the right decision. That's not to say this always happens, but it may be a wiser thing, certainly in the mindset of a disciple, of one who is following God, who is following Jesus Christ, maybe to rephrase it differently. So instead of us saying God is on our side, maybe we should be asking the question, how are we on God's side? Trying to discern if we are on God's side means that we first have to know what that means. What does it mean to be on God's side? And of course, the other question we have to ask is, do we truly know who God is? Are we striving to learn who God is? Maybe that means we even have to discover ourselves in the process. But all of this is an experience that can allow us to move past our fears, to move past whatever it is that we are afraid of. Because the reality is, we cannot deal with what we are afraid of by pretending that it doesn't exist. We can't deal with it by not talking about it or trying to make it go away through distraction or pulling ourselves away from each other. We cannot face our fears by drowning in beliefs or behaviors which separate us from each other. For in those times that we are afraid, we need to remember. We need to remember who we are, and we need to remember that we are not alone. Because the reality is the church is built on community. It's built on people. People with the belief that God is with us, but also the belief that God is with everyone. God is not with us because we are on God's side. God is not with us because we are on the right side. God is with us because God loves all people. So how do we cope with our fears? Remember that there are those here who love you. There are those here who are willing to sit next to you. There are those here willing to listen to you, to listen what your fears might be, your anxieties, your uncertainties, whatever it is that may be going on. There are those here who will not judge you, who may challenge you, who may ask you questions that you don't want to hear or face things that you don't want to face. But all of that is a part of growth. It's a part of being able to move past our fear. It is a part of resurrection. It is a part of discovering that we are often much stronger than we realize. And obviously, most times, we do not like to go through those times of growth, those experiences where we are challenged and we have to face what it is that we are afraid of. But that is why we need others to help us along. Because so many times, we can get so caught up in our own minds, in our own presence, thinking that these fears are so much bigger that we never move forward. In fact, all we move is away from the very people who could help us to not be afraid. That's one of the reasons we are here as your pastors. Not to do this for you, but to be there with you. And so if you are struggling right now, if you are in a time of uncertainty or doubt or fear, if you are facing something unknown or uncertain, and it looks like there are giants on the other side waiting to devour you, remember that you are not alone. Let us know. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. Let's have lunch. Let's sit down and talk, and let's go through what this is so that we can at least know that we are able to voice our fears and that we don't have to keep them to ourselves. There's an ever-growing community here in Lakeland of people who are looking for opportunities in which they can talk about what truly is meaningful to them as a human being. It's one of the great things that I love about this town. In fact, I have to say, I have not been as in love with a community since probably college. You know, to be able to be in a place with so much growth and so much potential and so much diversity, I mean, I absolutely love Lakeland. As United Methodist pastor, here's one of my fears. So you may know that as an elder, we itinerate, right? We go where we are sent. And I'm probably not the only one who fears this, but we always fear maybe getting that phone call, being told that we're going to go somewhere that we may not think that we really fit. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes it takes time and, you know, connection and relationships, and it gets better. But there's always that fear that you will be sent somewhere that is just not going to work. But I have to say, the very first time I set foot in Lakeland, I knew I was going to love this place. Because of the people, because of the diversity, because of that atmosphere of people wanting to grow and wanting to be diverse and wanting to try new things and wanting to speak about new ideas and realize that all of us could fit together in this community. And that's not to say that Lakeland doesn't have its challenges. It certainly does. And we need to talk more about that. In fact, it's one of the reasons that Pastor Melissa will be starting her class tonight on race and racism in our community. Because there are certainly things about our community that we need to continue to work on. We need to continue to question and be together and not overlook those challenges. Because though it may cause us discomfort and fear, the work is too important. Even more so, the people are too important. But I believe this town is worth it. I believe this community is worth it. And that's one of the beliefs that this worship service has always embodied for years and years, to speak to people who, for whatever reason, have not really found that place to call home yet. But this is an opportunity. This is a way. that we can find our home and the people gathered here as our neighbors, as our friends, as our loved ones. That has always been the crux and the heart of this service. It's to the phrase that we have come to call authentic mosaics, people coming together from all different walks of life, different in their individuality, but we all acknowledge that we are broken and we are looking for that God, that love, that peace, and that grace. And not just for us, but so that we may be strengthened to go back out into the community and share that experience with others. And that's not just here at 1120. All of our worship services do that. I mean, it's why we have multiple services, because we acknowledge and understand and want to honor that all people worship differently. And so how are all of these people able to find a home in one way or another at First United Methodist Church? But here, this service was started in a way to try to mold all of that together. So whether you throw out words like contemporary or traditional or emergent, liturgical, whatever, the attitude here has always been, great, let's try it. Let's try it. That is a way that we are able to move past our fears, not just coping with them, not just living with them, not trying to forget about them, but focusing on those possibilities which make us better so that we may get to the promised land and know that we don't have to do it alone. That's what God means when God says, I will be with you. God reminds us, and sometimes God reminds us through each other. We are reminded by God's presence, by the presence of one another. That's what it means to be in community, to be there for someone, to show the love of God that God has shown us. And so I encourage you to remind someone who is struggling, remind someone who is going through a tough time, remind someone who is afraid that they are not alone, that they are welcome here. They will be accepted here. They will be loved here. We all have something that we are dealing with. We all have something that we are afraid of. But we can work it out together. When we experience that authentic honesty, that diversity, it is one step closer for us to become unafraid. Whatever those fears may be, whatever monsters may be in our closet, whatever it is that we are afraid of, know that you are not alone. That there are opportunities for us to be able to come together in God's grace and in God's love to put a voice to those fears and see possibilities, ways that we can move forward, not through violence, not through aggression, not through condemnation or conquering, but understanding that God's love is with each and every one of us. And if God is with all of us, then we can be there for each other. So go in God's grace, in God's peace, in God's love, and let that help us to be unafraid. Amen.